much, Ben, and thank you all for having me here. It's always a blessing, a privilege to be here and have this opportunity. And I think I saw maybe quite a few of you perhaps at the winter retreat that was at the end of January, I believe, somewhere around that time. And it was a very sweet time, so thank you for welcoming me during that time as well. Really appreciate that. And it was just really fun. You know, I think I shared with Ben the activity where everyone got together that one night to just have families and old and young, different congregations get together to play, you know, to do that marshmallow, like, building game and all that stuff. It was, like, really, really fun. So, I took something away. I want to steal that, you know, maybe for one of our church's future retreats. But what I want to start off with today is a riddle, okay? So I'm going to give you a riddle, and I want you to try and guess it. So you need to determine what the answer is based off the clues I give to you. And as you're thinking, don't say the answer. And at the way end, I'll have opportunity for everyone to share their answer together, okay? So I just want you to kind of be thinking for yourself. And don't use your cell phone, okay? No cell phones, no internet, you know. Don't open your Bible, you know. Well, this is the one time I'll say don't open your Bible, okay? But don't open your Bible and just kind of think, okay? So this is the first clue. It's something that you can enter or go into. Okay? It's something that can be taken away. It's a secret that can be given. It's something that can belong to you or be received by you. All right? It's something that can be entered through many tribulations, persecution. It's something that the unrighteous cannot inherit. In something that is at hand or has come near. It's good news that must be proclaimed. It's something that you should seek above all things. It's something that one cannot see unless they are born again. All right, so gave you guys 10 clues. So on the count of three, maybe just share it with your neighbor, what you think the answer is, okay? On the count of three. All right, one, two, three. All right. 10 clues. All right, so I heard some answers. Let's hear some. Anyone from this row here? This column here, anyone want to say what you think the answer is from this column? Any takers? Jesus. Okay, I got Jesus. How about here? Holy Spirit. This column, anyone? Heaven. Okay, Ben says heaven. All right. And anyone from this column here? The gospel. Okay. Yeah. I think, you know, you guys are all, you know, like, you guys are all there. You guys are, you know, really, really there. So the answer, you know, the specific answer is I want to share with you is it's the kingdom of God. Okay. It's the kingdom of God. Right. So I think all you guys are touching on it, right? You guys are all touching on it, right? Heaven. Yeah. The kingdom of God, you know, Jesus, right? Holy Spirit, you know, it's like, it's all touching, right? This is good. You know, Jesus, he often spoke in what felt like riddles to people. People would come and they would listen and they would try to understand the truth that Jesus had to give. And for anyone that could understand it, that truth, that revelation was immensely valuable. Okay, so Jesus, he often spoke in what we would call parables. And today we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 4. Okay, so if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to open it up for yourself. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 1 to 20 today. Okay, so Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 20. And it's one of the more well-known parables in the Bible. It might say in your Bible, there's like a heading that says the parable of the sower, or the sower and the soils, or something like that. Or if you guys use the NLT here, I'm not sure, it might say the parable of the farmer scattering seed. And let me read verse 1 and 2 to start us off. And he, so meaning Jesus, and he began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered to a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teachings, he said to them, and we're going to cut off there, okay? We're not going to hear what he told them yet. But from the very beginning, what we see is there was a large crowd of people that were gathered there to see and to hear Jesus. And it was by the sea. So, you know, I'm assuming, you know, like if people wanted to be there, they had to make at least an effort to be there, right? Maybe many people were curious about who Jesus was. They were thinking, you know, as we look at the previous chapters in Mark, you know, who is this Jesus, right, that was baptized by the John the Baptist, right? There was, you know, descending, the Spirit descending like a dove, right? And then there was a voice from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." It's like, who is this person? Who is this Jesus, as you have looked already in the beginning chapters, that would heal people? He would cure them of their diseases. He would cast out unclean spirits and demons. He healed the lepers. He healed the paralytics. Who is this man that taught with authority? Who is this person? People are curious. They want to get to know this person. Who is this man who could gain such a large following of people in such a short amount of time just to hear him teach? And as we read through the ministry of Jesus, some people, you know, they're there just for the clout, right? They're just there so they can say, "Oh, I'm with Jesus." Some people were there for the free food. You know, Jesus fed the 4,000. Jesus fed the 5,000, right? People were there like, "Hey, if I'm with Jesus, he's going to feed me," you know? Some were there to try and catch him blaspheming, right, in 4K, or, you know? They try to give him different questions, tough questions, and see if he's going to slip up, right? So then they can, you know, have some dirt on him and then possibly put him into trial and then kill him. But I think what we can conclusively say is that many people were curious about him, right? However, I think what we're going to find out today is that Jesus doesn't want people to just to be curious about him. He wants people to be serious about him. Right? He wants people to be serious about him. So a parable, just a simple definition is, it's a narrative or a saying designed to illustrate a truth. Okay, so oftentimes there will be comparisons, or there might be something that, like this, such and such is like this. And we're going to read through the one today. It's in chapter 4, you know, there's a lot of parables, as you'll see if you look further on. But we're just going to cover the first one today. And it starts in verse 3. Jesus says, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed. And as he sowed, some seed fell among the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" And so curious people, they show up to listen initially. They put some effort, right? Maybe they follow Jesus. They figure out where he was. They follow him to the shore. Maybe they walked a few miles. They gave their time, right? Maybe they're skipping lunch, you know, or dinner to go and hear him talk. So we got to give them a little credit, right? But the serious person does more. He comes, or she comes, to find Jesus when he's alone to seek the meaning of his teachings, to ask Jesus questions, to really get to know him. You know, as we're singing this song, right? "I want to know you, right? Jesus, my Lord, right? I want to know you." That's the serious people's mindset. So they might ask some kind of question such as, "Why did the sower sow on unfruitful soil? Isn't that wasteful? All right, what do the soils represent? Jesus, what do the seed represent? What makes good soil And Jesus, why are you telling us this parable? These might be some questions that the serious people come and ask. You know, you might have some other ones. But the hearer is left wondering, right, in verse 9, what is the meaning of the three unfruitful soils and the one fruitful soil? What's the meaning of all of this? And Jesus, he just says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's all he says. So I texted Ben one night, and I was like, hey, Ben, what if I just plan to read verse 1 to 9 for the Sunday sermon? I'll just read 1 to 9, and I'll leave it as that, because that's what Jesus did. Right? And, obviously I'm not going to do that, but Ben was a little nervous because he was like, oh, how am I going to explain this to people? You know, like, where are you going to go? Are you just going to leave? That's what Jesus did. He just gave from verse 3 to 9, and that was it. That was it. There was no explanation to the crowd. And then in verse 13 to 20, that's actually where we see the explanation to this parable. But it's not given to everyone. It's only given to those who came to seek him alone. So I told Ben, you know, hey, I'll read verse 1 to 9, and then I'll call it a day, and then we'll wait and see who wants to come and find us and ask us more questions. Ben was like, he was trying to be really nice, you know, about it. And he was like, I don't know. Like, you know, like I could feel that in his text. But we're not going to do that. But, you know, let's see who's going to be interested enough to want to come and find out who Jesus is. What is the meaning of what Jesus is saying? Who are the people who are really serious about it? And listen to what Jesus says to those who found him alone, right, in verse 10. Okay. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. So it's not just the 12, but there was others with the 12. Okay. And when he was alone, okay, and he said to them, this is what Jesus said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom. For those outside, everything is in parables. Okay. To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables. So that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. So the word secret here in verse 11, in the Greek it's mysterion. So this is where we get the word, take a guess, mystery, right? Mystery. So a secret is a secret because not everybody knows it, right? If everybody knows it, then it's not really a secret, right? However, just because it's a secret, it also doesn't mean that it's not unknowable. You can come to know it. Just like the riddle we played earlier, right, where I gave 10 clues. Like, what is it, right? What am I? Some of you guys, maybe from the very first clue, you're like, oh, I know it, right? Maybe some of you by the second one, or the third one, right? So maybe some by the 10th one, you're like, okay, now I'm definitely sure this is the answer. Maybe some of you guys were like, oh, you know, even by 10, I'm not like 100% sure, but maybe I'm like 50% sure. And maybe by the end, some of you guys are more confused than when we first started. So what we learn here is that even though you may not have known the answer at the very beginning, at the way end, I gave the answer, right? So I revealed it to you, the answer, the kingdom of God. It's been revealed to you. And what we learn here is that Jesus tells us that God is the one who reveals this secret. God is the one who gives the secret to those who seek him. God is the one who needs to reveal this divine revelation. Without Jesus, people cannot understand. And I know that some of you guys might be saying, okay, hold on, wait a minute. Like, this, these verses, it sounds really like, you know, kind of, it sounds a little bit mean, you know? It says, like, Indeed, they may see and not perceive. Indeed, they may hear but not understand, lest they turn and be forgiven. Like, what? Like, that doesn't sound very nice, right? Is Jesus purposely telling some people and then purposely excluding other people? Does he only want some people to understand and others not to understand? Like, does that seem fair? And I think it also calls into question maybe God's integrity, right? God's goodness. How can he be like that? And I thought, you know, God wanted to forgive everyone, right? Doesn't God want everyone to come to know him? How can Jesus say this then? In verse 12, Jesus, he's actually quoting Isaiah 6, verse 9 to 10. And Isaiah 6, 9 to 10, it basically says almost the same thing. It says, and he said, go and say this to people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. So this context for Isaiah, God is telling the prophet to preach despite people not wanting it, not wanting to hear the truth. God knows that these people, their hearts are hard, and they're not going to hear. But even then, God tells Isaiah, go and preach. Go and share what I want you to share. God, he calls his faithful prophet to preach to faithless people. That's the context for what we're reading here. And one commentator says that God does this because for the people that don't want to hear, the last thing they want to do is to turn and have their sins forgiven. They don't want anything to do with it, to do with God. They reject God. All the truth, they want to reject it. So that's why. That's why. And in verse 11, Jesus, he says, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parable. So now Jesus, he begins to share about two different groups of people. Those on the outside and those on the inside. Those on the inside have been given the secret of God. Right? Those on the inside are asking sincere questions. They really want to get to know Jesus. On the outside, everything is in parables. It's a mystery. People, they hear, and then they sit through those few verses, and they're like, okay, I don't get it, but it's lunchtime. Time to figure out what I'm going to eat for lunch. Right? That's how it is. They can't seem to understand. And in verse 13, that's when Jesus, he gives the explanation to those who found him. He says this, okay, in verse 13. Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those who are sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Now, one reason I really like this parable is because Jesus, he explains it himself. No, and we have someone to record what Jesus says. Like, that makes it easier, right? You don't need to like really trying to figure out like all this stuff. But it's more clear than other parables that you might read. And parables are not always allegorical. Okay, so meaning like one to one, this is this. Right? So a lot of times it's it's comparisons or saying something is like something. But here, there are quite a few things that where it's saying it's this is that. And I think there are kind of a few ways to look at this parable, and I'll just maybe share two. The first one is what we can maybe view as we are the soils. Okay, we are the soils. That's like our condition. The second one is maybe we can view it as we are the sower. You know, so sometimes parables can have different angles and different things that you can get out of it. But what we do know here is that the seed, the word, it is what Jesus is saying. All right, who Jesus is. And let's take a look at what happens when the words of God, of Jesus, enter into different types of soil. Okay, so the first one I want us to look at is one that is under spiritual warfare. Okay, one is just straight up under spiritual warfare. So the first one is the path. It's compact. It's trodden, right? People are walking on it. Maybe there are like animals walking on it. There's carts on it. It's compacted. When it reaches that soil, it's totally unsuitable for growth. Right? Totally unsuitable. What Jesus tells us here is that there is spiritual warfare going on. That God and Satan, they are battling. There's a cosmic battle going on for the souls of people. Because Satan comes and he snatches away the word that was given to this soil. When you read the gospel accounts, Jesus, he comes across a lot of people, right? A lot of people. He shares the good news with a lot of people. He teaches a lot. And you come across like teachers of the law, Pharisees, chief priests. And, you know, in the Bible it's recorded like there's a lot of them that their hearts were hardened, right? They didn't, maybe they came to ask some questions. They want to hear some stuff. But some of them, you know, they didn't want to receive it at the end. And there's one story that I'll share here. It's the rich young ruler from Mark 10. And I think a lot of you guys know the story, so I'm not going to talk about it too much. But this rich young ruler, he comes to Jesus, and he kneels before him, you know, good teacher, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus is do these commandments, right? These few commandments. And he's like, yeah, I've done them. You know, I kept them since I was a child. And Jesus is like, okay, well then, go and sell all that you have, because that's the one thing that you lack. Go and sell all that you have, and then come follow me. And I think you guys know the rest of the story, right? The rich young ruler, the young man, his face was downcast because he was very wealthy. And he didn't want to do, he couldn't do it, what Jesus was asking him. So in that moment, in that short conversation, right, the seed was sown, but immediately, right, it was taken. It was taken so quick. And Satan, he will do everything to take away the truth, to take away the seed that God is sowing. Satan will do everything. Satan, you know, he doesn't want you to know the truth. Satan, he's a deceiver. He's a liar. Right? Satan, he comes disguised as an angel of light. Well, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy you. That's Satan. And our world, you know, it's drowning in lies today. It really is drowning in lies today. Every time I turn on the news, I'm like, wow, like, you know, this is what kids are like in elementary school are learning, you know, about their identity or, you know, different things in life. Like, wow, this is the type of resources that high school students are looking at now. You know, like, every day I'm like learning something new, and I'm just shocked. I'm shocked. You know, the world, it lies to us about our human condition. You know, that we're what? We're inherently good people, right? The world lies to us about our gender options, right, that exist today. The world lies to us about the meaning of life, our purpose. The world lies to us about, you know, what it means to love someone or to be loved, right? The world lies to us about relationships, about dating, about marriage. You know, America has become so lost that the other countries send missionaries here, you know? Yeah, like that's America now. Maybe 50 years ago, you know, 100 years ago, it was the other way around. So let's not be unaware of the devil's schemes. This is what he seeks to do. He seeks to snatch the seed before it can even take root. So the second thing I want to talk about is persecution. This is another type of soil. So sun is necessary, you know, for life, right? plants, they need the sunlight. Many plants, but also many plants, they cannot withstand like extreme heat or extreme cold, right? So that's why, you know, people might put some covering on their plants, right? When it gets really cold, or in the summer, like we had some tomato plants at our house, and basically like it was so hot that like all of them just like died, you know. It's like no matter what we do, it would just die because like it's like over 100, it's like 106 or something. Like what can you do, right? And too much sunlight and heat can damage and kill a plant, especially when the roots have not had ample time to go deep, to really get the nutrients, to get the water. So people who receive the word first, they receive it with joy. But then when tribulation comes, when persecution comes, they fall away. And this word fall away in Greek is skandalizo. Skandalizo. This sounds like an English word, right? Anyone take a guess? Scandal. Yeah, someone said scandal, right? That's where the English word comes from. It comes from this Greek word. And this word, it means to be brought down to a downfall. Okay, brought down to a downfall. So it's similar to scandal, right? Because when you're involved in a scandal, suddenly like you might gain a lot of clout, but then if you're really in the wrong, then like you know, like you might be canceled for like a few years or something, you know. I'll share a story. This story is like it really pains me to share it because it's sad. It's really sad. So I met this student, and you know, I want to keep it a little more anonymous, you know. But there was a student that I met, and he wanted to do what God wanted him to do. So I invited him to a summer conference for like Christian students, for students who wanted to start like a Christian club at their school. So I invited him to come, and he went. No, out of just, he just wanted to see what God was going to do in his life. When he was there, you know, there was a lot of, you know, worship, a lot of messages, right? He's like fellowshipping with other Christian students his age. And, you know, he's really excited, right? You're like, you know, they're in that really like spiritual, like bubble, right? And, he began to listen to God and he really felt like, hey, God wants me to start a Christian club, so I want to do it. And I was really happy. I was like, yes, like, this is one of the things I wanted to happen. Praise the Lord. And he was so happy to do it. He's there with his friends, and everyone's excited. You know, everyone's like, you know, on fire for Jesus and stuff. So then we decided, let's do it. And then we come back, and we get to planning, right? We get to planning, we pray, we plan each week on what you need to do at your school, right? How do you start your club? How do you find members? You know, all these things we began to prepare. But as the weeks went by, there was a lot of persecution, you know, at his school against Christians. A lot of persecution in the district. You know, some of you guys may live in some school districts that are a bit kind of on edge right now, maybe because of things that have happened. The school showed retaliation. You know, they're trying to make Christians look bad. You know, Christians. And people who are not Christians, they hear this stuff, so they get really upset. So they're like, bad-mouthing, a Christian club and Christians and things like that. So he's kind of in the midst of that, and he begins to feel a lot of pressure, right? Is this something I really want to do, you know? And I think, one of the breaking point was, you know, wow, oh, I might lose my friends. Because now even my friends are beginning to talk about this and saying how, you know, bad stuff about Christians. Like, I don't want them to, you know, maybe not be my friend anymore, right? So that was kind of the breaking point. And, you know, as a church, as a pastor, right, we still love for this person. We still care for him, right? We're not like, oh, just because you gave up or you pulled out, like, you know, you're not worthy of, like, you know, all that, and you're not like, you can't be here anymore, you know? Like, you failed, you screwed up, you know? Like, we're not like that. But, you know, this is the reality, right? This is the reality. You know, young person facing so much pressure, so much persecution, right? It's a lot to handle, right? And the truth of the matter is that, you know, although he, you know, endured for a while, right, as the parable says, you know, the seed, the plant endured for a while, but then when the heat, you know, came, the sun was scorching, it withered away, right? The joy disappeared. That's what happened. There was a downfall, right? A downfall. All right, so when you receive the word of God, you know, you got to know that persecution and tribulation is coming. It's coming for you when you receive the word of God. You got to be aware of that. And if you don't have deep roots, you're going to fall. In Colossians 2, verse 6 to 7, it says, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Now, that's one thing that we got to do is that when we're receiving the word, we got to be rooted. You know, if we're not rooted, then we're gonna fall. When pressure comes, things are going to topple. And that's what happens. You know, that's what happens to those people who are in those rocky soils. And the third thing I want to talk about is it's called cares and riches. Cares and riches. So it finally seems like, okay, great. There's a seed that finally falls on soil that is not the path, okay? It's finally soil that's not in the rocky soil. But it seems like it's a good soil now. But we find out is that, no, this soil has thorns. So thorns, some people might say weeds. So a weed is basically any vegetation that is undesirable, okay? So even if you have like an apple orchard and suddenly like lemons start to grow up, you know, for some reason, and you don't want these lemons, you know, because you don't have a reason or purpose for that because you want to focus on producing apples, then lemon trees become weeds. You know, that's by definition. Those are weeds, okay? So weeds, they tend to grow very easily, right? Any gardeners here? Very easily. Like they you don't do anything. You don't care for them, and they grow, right? They're so just a pain to get rid of, you know. And if they fight for the same resources, I studied some agriculture. I don't really get to use much agriculture these days, you know. But I studied agriculture in undergrad, and yeah, they fight for the same resources, the nutrients, the water, right? They're competing. So if you want more production, then you need to reduce the weeds. And what happens is that in this parable, there's so many weeds that they choke the seed, the sown seed. They choke it out of its resources, and it's unfruitful. There's no fruit. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul writes in his letter to Timothy, and he says, "For Demas, in love of this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." For Demas, right, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. So Demas, he was one of Paul's companions. You know, they probably did mission trips together. You know, they were fellow workers in the gospel. We don't know too much of him, but, you know, if they're working together, I'm assuming they traveled together. They probably ate together, right? Maybe they slept under the same roof at some point. And Demas was maybe, you know, someone who we might view as very spiritual, like someone that we might look up to. This was a person who went on mission trips to spread the gospel. So I guess he risked it in some sense, right? But look at what it says. It says that Demas was in love with this present world. Demas, he heard the teachings of Jesus either directly or through someone else. But he was not immune to what the world brought to him. The worries, the anxieties, or the cares, the allure of riches. And what the deceitfulness. That's what the world brings. And what we find out here is that the world and the kingdom of God, they're in opposition, okay? They're not holding hands. They're in opposition. So you cannot have both. And Jesus' call to his followers is always a choice to surrender. To surrender, to lay yourself down, to lay down your things. He calls his disciples, right? James and John, you know, put on your nets, follow me, right? He calls, you know, Peter, follow me. Right, Andrew, follow me. Put down your nets, follow me. Tells Matthew, tax collector, come up from your booth and follow me. It's a choice to lay down, to surrender, and come. That's Jesus' call, to lay down your cares, your worries, your anxieties, what the world is saying, and to follow. And Ben told me that this year, you know, like you guys have been exploring that theme of total surrender. Right, even from your retreat, you guys were talking about, it says, what's it called? Christ, you know, is the Lord of my home, right? Christ is Lord of my life. Christ is Lord of my church. Right? If Christ is Lord, then he must be Lord of all. That's what you guys have been learning. Total surrender, right, to his lordship in every area of your life. That's what God wants. This is what Jesus is telling us. But what we see here is that Demas, he was not completely focused on the kingdom. Maybe at some point he was, but at some point his focus became split. Maybe he thought, hey, I can have one foot here, you know, in God's kingdom, and one foot in the world. You know, if things don't work out with this Christian thing, then at least I have something I can fall back on. And some scholars, they believe that, you know, when this was written, Paul was in prison. So Paul was in prison, when Paul was talking about Demas, he was in prison, and Demas abandoned him. That's what it's called. When it says, deserted, that's the word, deserted. That means to abandon. So when Paul, he was in prison and he had needs, you know, when he needed friend, like Demas left. Demas left for the world because that's where his heart was. Maybe he said, I don't want to end up in prison like Paul. You know, I'll share the gospel at least as long as I'm walking free. But when the risk, when the cost becomes too high, no, right? No. Jesus, you're asking too much of me. I can't surrender that to you. I'll surrender this. I can't surrender all. Right? How many of us maybe feel that struggle? Right? Jesus, I'll give you some, but not all. You can be Lord of this, but not Lord of all. Right, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Right, a lot of time, greed is that source of evil. You know what's really crazy is that the world is passing away. You know, the world is passing away. One day it will all be gone. And there will be a new heaven and new earth, as written in Revelation 21. So, what are you toiling for, right? Is it eternal? If it's not eternal, it's not going to last. If it's not eternal, it's going to be gone. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 20 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moss and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where was Demas' heart, right? Where was his heart? You know, there's a friend I recently made from Hong Kong. He's a new pastor at our church, doing Cantonese ministry. And I was, you know, naturally, as we talk, we kind of compare, right? Oh, how's life in Hong Kong, right? How's life compared to the U.S.? And some things, you know, that I learned is that, you know, Hong Kong culture is very fast. You know, people are always, you know, going. Planning is very fast. And there's not, you don't need to, you know, as he was working his church, you don't need to go through a lot of meetings and votings and all these things, but it's very, very fast. Another thing that he talked about is that they work a lot. They work like, it seems like 12-hour work days, you know, like 9 to 9 or something like that. Very, very long. And then you get home, basically you don't have much you can do, and you're just so tired, you just sleep, and you go to work again. And he said that America is not like that. It seems like America is more chill or, you know, relaxed. You know, people are more flexible, right? You can work when you want, and as long as you get your work done, I guess, or something, you know? But, you know, I told him, yeah, like maybe in some places, but in Silicon Valley, it seems like it's very fast here too. People are very, very busy. People also work long hours, you know, overtime. You go on vacation, bring your work laptop, right? Because your boss may tell you to go and, you know, fix something. Something's broken. You got to get on that, right? So although your physical body is on vacation, where's your mind? Your mind's like, oh no, like I might have to, you know, stay up late today, you know, to figure this thing out while my family's sleeping. I got to stay up late to do this, right? This is Silicon Valley. You know, especially with all the recent layoffs, right? You want to do your best, right? You want to show that you're working hard, that you really deserve to be there. Because you're fighting, your spot, you're fighting with probably maybe tens or hundreds of other people. Right? You know, another thing that we talked about is cost of living. Hong Kong, you know, it's not cheap, okay? But compared to here, you know, Hong Kong seems very cheap, right? He says, like, he started, his currency, like, as we started talking, was in hamburgers. That's the currency that he started to use. Because he's like, man, In-N-Out, like, I can get a burger for, like maybe $5 or less, right? But man, if you want to get a different meal, that's like $15, $20, you know, for any random meal, you know, like whether it's a burrito or ramen or whatever, right? So he's like, man, it's like that's like three burgers. That's like four burgers, you know, that's like four meals. You know, so he started calculating and he started calculating in like bread, you know, like, man, a loaf of bread costs this much. You know, man, he started talking about noodles, $3 in Hong Kong. But here it's like $15, and you know, that's like five bowls of noodles. So he started doing all this calculation. Bay Area is expensive. You know, it's if you want to get a good job, you got to be the best. You got to beat the best, because you got to beat 300 people to get the, again, and go through multiple interviews and then take tests, right, to get that job. That's how it is in the Bay Area. You got to work hard. In Silicon Valley, it's work, school, right? You know, as I'm learning about our students, man, like they're so busy. Like I don't even understand when they have time to sleep. They got a sports, right? Sports, so they might come home at like 6 or 7, right? And they have games going on the weekends, maybe weekdays. They got volunteering, okay? They got clubs at school. They got leadership programs. They got they got music. They're learning piano, violin, right? They got arts. So if they're dancing or drawing or whatever, they got APs. They got special summer programs, you know, like the really coveted ones, maybe at Stanford or something like that. There's internships, Chinese school. Like, I'm like, when do people have any time to think about the things of God? Like, some youth come to church on Fridays at youth group. They look so tired. Like, I almost feel bad if I need to share a message, you know, to them. Because I'm like, you should just go home and sleep, you know? Some of them are like, you know, they're like leaning back on the pew. And like, you know, I'm like, yeah, like, I understand. You know, if I'm in your shoes, you know, I'm probably really, really tired too, you know? Some of them come on Sunday mornings to Sunday school, and they don't have any energy to even talk. You know, they just sit there and like a zombie, you know, but they're so tired, like, because they were staying up really late last night or something, you know. That's how it is. That's how it is, you know, here. People are so tired, you know, they're so busy that they don't really have any, they're not really in any condition, really any readiness to participate or to hear God's words. You know, they hear it and then they're so tired. Maybe, you know, they don't even remember, you know, they just goes out, right? So I'm not saying quit school, okay? I'm not saying be homeless or anything like that. You know, be responsible, right? But I think, you know, like, you know, as we hear these words of God, you know, it does something in our hearts, right? It reveals something. And those are things that we need to think about. We need to really ponder about as well. But if God's word is truth, then Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." If that's really true, if we can really trust God in his word, then we can seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. And all these things God will provide for you. God cares for the sparrow, right? God knows. God clothes the lilies of the field. Won't he care for you? So I'm gonna start to end now because I know that there's communion and I tend to go on really long. But the last soil is the fruitful soil. It's a fruitful soil. These are the people who went from curious to serious, okay? These are the people who are on the path of surrender. You know, dear God, you know, I want to give this to you, this part of my life to you. You know, I've been holding on to it. I want it to be the Lord, the Master, but I want to give this to you, God. I want to trust you with this. Man, it's a risk for me, but God, you know, it's not a risk really at all in eternity because I know that you've got me. And I want to share this story. It's about a famous missionary, American missionary, called Adoniram Judson. Yeah, people heard that name before, right? Adoniram Judson. So he spent almost 40 years in Burma. So now it's Myanmar, right? So he spent almost 40 years. And during his ministry, he helped lead hundreds of Burmese and people from the Karen tribe to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, I don't know why they call the Karen tribe, but he led many people to saving faith in Jesus Christ. He also translated the Bible into two different languages, and he just wrote a lot of like theological stuff for these Burmese people. And do you guys know how even though he shared the gospel with them so much, you know how long it took before there was one convert? 9 years? I heard 9 years. Anyone else? Yeah, 9 years is kind of close. 9 years is kind of close. 6 years. 6 years before one convert, okay? 6 years before one convert. No, and when you read more of his story, I'll just share a little, not too much, but, you know, when you read more of his story is, you know, there's a lot of ups and downs, a lot of ups and downs. He grew up in a Christian home, very devout. His father was a pastor. But he didn't become a Christian until he went to seminary, okay, which is kind of interesting, right? Some stuff, tragedy happened in his life, and he ended up, you know, deciding to go there, and that's where he, you know, placed his faith in Jesus. And from there, you know, he received a call to go and share the gospel with people. So he ended up going over there. But in 1824, the Burmese emperor imprisoned nearly all Western men because he thought that they were like spies for the British government, okay? So he's in prison now. And he's separated from his wife and his daughter, okay? And that time was really hard, right? It's a time of persecution, a time of tribulation. You know, is this worth it? You know, like, I come here and, you know, like why am I being imprisoned? You know, am I doing anything wrong? You know, like, do they have any proof that I'm a spy? Right, but he continued. He continued, and eventually, after under 3 years later, he was released. So he got reunited with his wife and his daughter. But then, they passed away. Right, so his wife and his daughter passed away while he was there on the mission field. Right? And in that moment, what might he feel? Man, God, where is your faithfulness to me? Right? God, like, how could this happen? Like, we just got reunited. And now they passed away, like my family. Like, God, how does that make sense? Aren't you supposed to bless me? God, help me make sense of that. So he got a lot of grief, and then he basically went into like full hermit mode for like, I think like 40 days. Hermit mode in the jungle. And during that time, wrestling with God, you know, doing business with God. And when coming out of that, you know, he was renewed, you know, in his desire. And I praise the Lord for that. That the things that he was hearing from the Lord, right, that he received from the Lord wasn't unfruitful, and it wasn't taken away. Because after he came out of that, he began to serve again. You know, he began to serve and reach people. He had renewed love for people, renewed resolve to reach the Burmese for Christ. And because of his story, you know, a lot of people are impacted. Very inspirational story. And, you know, when I look at that, I'm like, wow. You know, like, praise the Lord that for this person. And I think for, you know, for us, you know, like when we're thinking about, okay, if we're the sower, right, man, it could take 6 years before someone can come to know the Lord. Are there people in your life that you've been trying to reach, but they've just been hardened? You know, you want to sow something in their life, you want to share a word, and it kind of just bounces off, you know? You know, I've come across those people before, and I feel like, man, no matter anything I say, like, it just doesn't work. You know, everything I say, it just doesn't seem to get through. But can we be faithful, right? Faithful as the sower did to sow in every single soil, right? If you want to hit that fruitful one, you got to be sowing in every single one, right? That's a lesson that we can learn here. But at the same time, you know, I want to encourage all of us, you know, to surrender to the Lord as for this year, for your theme. Surrender your life, total surrender, to have Christ be the Lord of your life. Because God wants you to be fruitful. God wants to use you. God wants to bless you, right? But God doesn't bless disobedience. So as you guys are learning, and you will learn, you guys just kind of started the book of Mark here, but there's going to be more parables. There's going to be more things that Jesus says, right? Are those things going to take root in your heart and bear fruit? Right? We will have to see. Right? We're going to have to see. And as a church, I'm very excited, for what's going to happen for you. I really pray that God's word will bear much fruit in your life. And I think some things that are said here today, it might feel a little uncomfortable, right? Is this me? Is this who I am? How am I processing what's going through my life right now? Does God's word feel offensive to me? How do I respond to that? I'm really praying that God is going to do work in your life, and that in every single aspect, every single area, can be surrendered to the Lord. Right? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, man, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for you revealing the truth to us. For without your revelation, we cannot come to know it, God. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who is who loves us and who cares for us and who tells us the truth. We pray that what has been spoken today will not be snatched away by the devil. We would not fall into deception and lies, but that we would be able to withstand tribulation, that we would be able to recognize the schemes of the devil and what the world is trying to do, and that we would be able to reject it, Lord, and that we would be able to be rooted and built up in our faith so that we can walk in you. God, I ask that you would protect these people here. Protect them, Lord, from all of that would seek to destroy their life. Right? Because you are the God who wants people to draw near and to come to know you. And Lord, that you bless those who seek you and those that want to find you. God, so this is the God you are, that we want to know you more. So Lord, this is our desire, this is our cry today. Lord, I just ask that you bless us as we go out today. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.